right, good morning. Can you guys hear me okay? Yeah, welcome. Welcome to Christ Community Church. I hope you guys have had a blessed morning, a blessed breakfast. And every day that we have is just a gift from God, amen? Isn't it good? I mean, we live in the land of milk and honey. We truly do. So blessed. I know sometimes, you know, when you wake up and you're like, oh, I live in Sanger or Reedley, Orange Cove. It's so boring here. Man, you don't know how blessed we are, guys. It truly is a blessing to live in the valley. And so I'm thankful every day that I drive to work, that I have a job, that I can drive, that God has given me breath in my lungs, right, to do the work that He's called us to do. It really is a gift. And so that's how we know that God is He's a good Father, amen? And listen, I know when we celebrate Father's Day, and I said it a little bit when I was up on the stage, Father's Day can be a mixed bag of emotions for different people in the church. You know, that relationship between a father and son or a father and daughter it's unique and special, just the same way as a relationship between a son and a mother, or son and a daughter. It can be difficult sometimes, right? It's not always. Sometimes we look at it and we look in the culture, we know that there is a vacuum of leadership of men, right? And this is why this is important. This message is going to be geared for the men, but listen, at the end of the day, and I say this message is for everybody that's here, right? It's not just for the men. It's geared towards it, but all of God's word is meant to equip and empower and build us up, right, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as I'm going along, right, for the men in the room, you're going to see this is geared towards the men. But for the women in the room as well, right, you're going to look to see and how you can encourage and pray for the man in your life, amen? For the young men in your life. Whether you're a mom and you have young boys in the home, or you have nephews at home, we're going to be praying for them and encourage them, because we need to model and live out what this book says and what it's calling us, as how God has set an example for us to live and to follow as godly men, not just men, but godly men. Now, to the young ladies in the room, pay attention as well. Because God has given you God has also given you some insight and instruction on what to look for when you're out there, right? And some of the gals are like, I ain't never getting married, Pastor. You don't know some of the guys that are around me, right? Is that you guys, some of you? Okay, just wait. You don't know the plan that God has for you, but be mindful and be looking for a man who loves God. Be looking for the qualities and the character that God had intended, because that is the kind of man that will lay down his life for you, for his family, right? So that you can build up a home, because that ultimately is what God has asked us to do. Does that make sense? It's not just that, oh, he's so cute, he has a good job, and who cares about all that stuff? Before you know it, they'll lose their hair like me. Their car will break down. The money will run out. But you know what doesn't? Character. And if we build it on God's character, he never lets us down. So I just wanted to say that, because I know when I'm getting into the message, people will say, like, this is just for the men. I'm going to check out. No, pay attention. Amen? Let's get into the word. Today's message is called Mandates for Godly Men. And this is a message, and it usually, you guys know my preaching style, I usually like to grab big chunks of passages. This one I'm going to grab a couple. This is more of a buffet style message, which, again, it's not my way of preaching usually. But we have to cover a lot of ground, and so we're going to be going to different places in the Bible. The scriptures are in your handout, but you can also follow along here. And the first place we're going to be in is Ephesians chapter 6. And if the men that went to men's study, you guys are going to be feeling like, hey, this sounds familiar. There's a reason, right? There's a rhyme and a reason why sometimes when you go through the Bibles and Burgers, which, by the way, thank you for all the guys that show up. They go to the Bibles and Burgers. It's always a blessed time of fellowship. You always have good food as well, and we get into the Word. Amen? So we're going to be reading out Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. And then we'll dive into the key points from this passage. And the whole goal of this message is to really provide an outline or a blueprint of how God wants us to live as in a way that is honoring to Him, that is giving us instructions on how He wants us to lead. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Now, this is for the children, this first one. It says, children, or obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life in the earth. Okay? Kids, do me a favor. If you have your Bible, go ahead and highlight that right now. Highlight that passage of Scripture. Again, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life in the earth. Amen? Let's stop there. There's a reason why God has given that commandment. Why? We're meant to honor our parents, our mother and father. I said this to the men on Friday. Who knows what the sixth commandment is? Thou shalt not murder. That's right. That's important, right? You think that God, when he was giving the Ten Commandments, he said, I think I'm going to include in there that they shouldn't kill each other. That makes sense? That's probably important. Murder is bad. Can we all agree on that? We can, right? So even how much more so do you think that God is, he does things by accident? He doesn't. In fact, he gives you the commandment that before you go out and kill somebody or murder somebody, that you should honor your mother and your father. Right? And sometimes, are we honest? Do we honor them all the time? We don't, right? We're sinners. We don't honor them all the time. Like when your mom is calling you and you're just like, oh, I pretend like you didn't see the call. Right? Or your dad, yes or no? You don't give them attitude. Oh, the kids in here are like, they're like, yes, dad, of course, anytime. What did you want, mom? Yes. Happy to, mom. Right? Those are other kids. The kids in this church, they all listen. They all clean. They get straight A's. No? No, let's be real, right? All right, yeah. Over here, yes. Some of them do. Praise God. That's what God is working in that home. Right? But no, listen. The commandment for the children is so important. Why? Because God is a God of order. And he's instituted that authority for what? So that you can start to understand how God works, the framework that God gives us. See, sometimes we grow up on our own and we want to do our own thing, right? I remember being a teenager, like being 13 and 14. My dad doesn't know nothing. He's so old school, you know. I know better than him. Does that sound familiar? Only some of you guys. You need to repent. I know. But we're all trying to come into our own, right? And it's okay that God does command that we are going to leave your father and your mother, right? And he says what? That you'll be joined. This is Genesis, right? Also in Corinthians. But listen, God is a God of order. And our parents are there to give institute authority to teach us something, that ultimately there's a Father in heaven who is the ultimate authority. Does that make sense? So we can all agree. Murder is bad. Right? Yes. All right. And dishonoring our mom and our dad is also bad. Right? Because God has given us that commandment. He's instituted that. So kids, make sure, parents, highlight it for your kids. You can hit them with the Ephesians 6:1. Right, what did pastor say? Ephesians 6:1. That's your favorite verse. Right? From now on. Amen? Put it on the fridge. Put it on the door frame of your home. Put it on there everywhere. Put it on the bathroom. Right? Wherever you want them to do chores, put it there. But let's keep reading, because this is the key verse for this particular point. And then it says, fathers, you could also substitute that for parents, do not exacerbate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training of the Lord and instruction of the Lord. You know what it means to exacerbate? Can I say it right? Exasperate. I can't even read it, guys. Let alone, I didn't even know what it means. No, I do know what it means. Okay, sometimes my English, I'm a English second language, guys. You know, I'm an ESL learner. So, what does it mean to exasperate? What does it mean? To agitate, to frustrate, to talk to them with this certain tone that you already know, that if somebody talked to you with that tone, you'd be ready to fight. Right? Don't be talking to me with that tone. Nobody talks to me with them. But don't we turn around and we use that same tone with our kids sometimes? Oh, man. I'm reading somebody's mail today. I have a camera in your house. You didn't know that. When you were asleep, I went into your bed. You have to put a little camera right there. Oh, I'm watching there. Oh, she's getting crazy with the kids today. Oh man, he's about to lose it. Right? If there was a camera in our house, yes or no? Don't we sometimes exasperate? I'm still not saying it right. Agitate, upset, right? You know what I'm saying? We do. Because the flesh wants to say, can't you just listen to me? Do I have to throw the chancla at you every single time? Do you want me to take the belt off? Right, but listen, that's not what God is calling us to do. Oh man. Children, highlight this passage in your Bible's parent in your parents' Bible, amen? Because sometimes parents, we know you have to check the flesh a little bit. A lot. Yes or no? Because man, who could pull your buttons like your kids know how to push your buttons, don't they? Oh, and when they give you the look, have your kids ever given you the look where they almost look you up and down? My six-year-old did that to me one time, and I was like, man, I'm about to go outside, bro. No. I'm not a fighter. But you know what it means, right, when somebody looks you up and down like that? It's like, what? You know that's a fighting look, yes or no? That's a look of disrespect, and you're like, you little brat. Come here. You start running down the hall, and they take off running. Yes or no? Yes. Yes, guys, we're here to be honest. We say in our mission statement, we want to be authentic. The struggles that you go through in life as a parent, we go through in life as a parent too, guys. But we serve a God who is awesome, amen? And he's patient and he's kind. And he then brings a conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts me like it's nobody's business. I'm like, okay, I better go repent. I went overboard, guys. This just happened to me 2 months ago. My wife knows about it. I lost my cool with one of my kids. And then here's the other thing, coaching moment. We're all doing the best that we can, right? Parents, have a plan for discipline, even if there's a disagreement, and don't hamstring each other in front of the kids. Do you know what that means? I mean, obviously, if you're way over the top, like, hey, let's bring them aside, and let's talk about that, like, go behind the curtain a little bit, and let's talk about that. I'm thankful that Stephanie did that to me because I did lose my cool on one of my kids. And we had a conversation after. And she was already telling me what the Holy Spirit had already told me. I was feeling convicted. And she reaffirmed it. Not 10 minutes later, do I have to go in front of my kid? And I had to say, you know what? I lost my cool. That wasn't right. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's going to be fine. I love you. I see you, right? And we hugged it out. Not 5 minutes later, right? It was fine. So parents, have a plan too, right? I know, get back in the car, Pastor. It's already late. But have a plan. But this is a key point for us as parents. We have to make sure that we are teaching our kids in a way that they can understand, that meets them where they are, right? You've lived a long life. You have a lot of experience already. Sometimes the kids, when we tell them, go do this, and it might be a simple thing, but we never ask them to do it. They come back and say, what did you want me to do? Where was it? Have you ever turned around and lost your cool? Yes, you have, right? And so it's okay. We need to make sure that the first point on today's message is that we follow it, that God wants us and he's calling us to be what? Encouraging teachers. Encouraging teachers. Because every one of us in here, we know what it's like to have a bad teacher, right? You know what it's like to have a bad teacher? Somebody doesn't care. They're just there to collect a paycheck, right? There's a lot of educators in this room. They're not like that. Those people, they don't even go to church, okay? We're going to pray for them. We need to be encouraging teachers, right? Somebody that sees us where we are. You ever had that somebody, a teacher that really encouraged you, that saw you? I have a handful of those in my life. And man, it meant so much to me that they knew me, that they saw me, that they poured out love and kindness. That makes all the difference in the world. And then you have those other teachers, it's just like, man, I wish we could just get rid of them, you know? They don't want to work, right? They're just lazy. They're mean. You have to have all kinds of meetings, meeting after a meeting, for you to do your job, you know? Anyway, here's the reality of it, that we have to be encouraging teachers. We don't want to be a teacher that's absent. We need to be present. We need to be what? Meet the kids where they are. And so let's not exacerbate. Let's not agitate our kids, okay? That's a Pastor Michael translation. Does that make sense? God is calling us to be and we're ultimately the first teacher. The first teachers of our children, right? Because they're not just teaching them, they're also doing what? They're watching us. And oftentimes, most of us, how many of you guys, again, I quiz you guys a lot on this, you learn by watching. How many of you guys? A lot of us, right? How many learn by reading? Some of us. By hearing? A lot of us learn by watching, and a lot of us learn by actually doing. Right? And so God is really, it's interesting that he's, you know, it's like, listen, and then watch me, and then I'll watch you. You guys have seen that? That's what kind of the blueprint that God gives us in terms of how we're called to train up our children. So, God wants us to be encouraging to our children, not agitate them. And so here's the thing that we need to ask ourselves, parents, at home, are we more encouraging or are we more agitating? The tone that we take, are we using the tone that is encouraging the kids, that's building them up? And I'm not saying don't be that kind of parent who's like, everything they do is perfect. Ay, mijo, she's the best. And he's a big old cholo and he's like the worst and he's a thief and everything. I'm not my mijo, you know? You guys know parents like that too? No, you got to be real too, okay? Mijo, I was like, man, you guys know what I'm talking about too? Don't be that kind of parent. You turn the blind eye that your kids do no wrong. You don't want to be that parent at school either, right? No, your kids messed up like my kids are messed up too. Okay, they're not saints. Yes or no? Okay, let's just be clear on that. So let's be encouraging, but at the same time, the words that we use, right? Are we encouraging or agitating them? Are we being intentional? This is a big one, to teach them God's word at home. Are we teaching them how to pray? Are they seeing us live this out? Or just when we come to church on Sundays? Does that make sense? Because God is calling you to model this. He's calling you to be the first teacher. You know, we put up people here at work, right? I always say, listen, if you've been blessed to have a good boss, praise God. Sometimes you're not so blessed and you have a boss that you just like, you wish that lightning would strike your boss, right? But you still have kindness and patience and understanding to that boss, right? Even though you're secretly playing, God, strike my boss with lightning, right? You're still nice and kind, yes or no? You are. And so we say, what would you do for your kids? Oh, I love my kids. I would do anything for them. I'd give my life for my kids, right? Do we treat them the same? Sometimes we treat that boss that we don't really like, we treat them better than we treat our kids. That makes sense? No, that is a decision is what I'm trying to tell you. That is a decision that you're making. And so God is wanting us to be encouraging at home. Okay. Second key point from today that's going to be out of 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8 and 10. And I know I'm going to make up ground, guys. Don't worry. But we fed you guys already, so even if we go over, it's okay. Amen? 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy, let me read 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And he continues, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Okay, this is Peter writing to encourage the believers. The second point for today's message for us as parents and as men is to be alert and stand firm in the faith. To be alert and stand firm in the faith. Now we know that the second part of that scripture says that the enemy is out like a lion looking to see he will devour, right? The enemy is real. He's attacking what? Our marriages, our families, our kids. He's attacking our faith. And so as men, we need to stand in what? Like it says, be asleep? No, it says be alert. Does that make sense? One time, a long time ago, maybe when we were like in junior high, we drove to our family. We took a family trip to El Salvador. And my dad, we stopped to sleep somewhere in like Arizona. And like, I don't know why we stopped to sleep at this restaurant. A mile away, there's a prison, you know. And so like, I'm like, oh my gosh, what if a prisoner escapes, you know. I'm in junior high. My dad had been driving all night. And then so he tells me and my brother, okay, you guys are stand guard, watch, pay attention, right? And so like at first, like for the first 5 minutes, I was like, is there any criminals out there? And on the 6th minute, my brother knows because he was all, hey, wake up, dad. No, I was out, guys. You don't want me to be, okay, I was a bad watch guard, okay? That's why I didn't go into corrections. I'm not good at that. But my brother did stay up. He's like, bro, you fell asleep fucking the first time. I said, I don't even remember anything, right? We could, as men, sometimes, if we're honest, we could be asleep at the wheel a little bit. We can be asleep when the enemy is out there roaring and prowling. It means stand what? Be alert. Be alert. That means you got to keep your head on a swivel. You know, parents, even as practical things, this is one of the things my dad would always teach us. Everywhere he was always trying to teach us something. We were in the city. He would see somebody that was like, let's be honest, right? You see somebody, you're in the city, you're in, like in LA, and you'd be like, you see that guy over there? If you see that guy walking over here, we're going to cross the street. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? Just even being like street smarts. He's like, we have to be aware of your surroundings at all times. You never know where harm's going to come your way. You see that car that's coming? He would always tell you, it's your job to protect your life. It doesn't matter that there's a stop sign right there. It's your life. They could be distracted. I tell my kids that all the time. My kids know that, right? I said, just because that means you're there in the crosswalk, you better be watching. Your life is your own responsibility. That person could be texting somebody. Does that make sense? So we have to teach our kids to what? To be alert. But we have to be alert too, right? We can't be asleep. We have to stand firm in the faith. You guys remember the story of Nehemiah? When they were rebuilding the wall, when they came back, God called them back. You guys remember that? After it had been destroyed by the Babylonians, he came back and he was tasked to rebuild the wall. And what happens there is there was a portion of I think it's Nehemiah, I think it's 8. They're building the wall with one hand, and what it says, and then the other hand, they're carrying what? The sword, right? That's us, guys. That, yeah, you're called to go to work, but God is also saying, hey, you're doing do God's work over here, but be ready. And how do we get ready? Of course. Now, some of you guys are going to show up to work on Monday with a big old sword. You're 9mm, right? Pastor said, I got to be ready. Am I somebody here? No, I didn't say that. This is a true story, guys. I know you guys got the Bible tabs with the First Timothy 6. You guys got that? It's a Bible tab. It's a magnet. So that you can be in your sword right here. True story. I was at Harbor and Freight buying machetes for all the men of the church. I sent it to my wife, and she's like, oh my gosh. We cannot bring big old swords into the school. That's going to be our insurance going to cancel us. Well, when we have our own building, guys, we're all going to get machetes, okay? I'm going to put a verse on there. It's going to be awesome. We'll sign, yeah, you'll sign the waiver, right? No, good story. But you have to be ready. In Nehemiah, it says, go about doing God's work, but keep your head on the swivel because you might get attacked. You don't know when the enemy is coming. Now, for them, the enemy was real. People were trying to prevent them from doing God's work. You think that people are not preventing you from trying to do God's work? You think that the enemy is going to say, oh, yeah, lead a home that is Christ-centered. You want to teach your kids in the faith. You think he's just going to leave you alone? He's not. Does that make sense? Because what? Because we're God's chosen possession. You guys watch those like mob stuff, like mafia stuff? You guys, who's into those kind of shows? Right? They usually attack for a long time. There was a structure that they wouldn't attack the family. And then after a while, they started attacking the family, right? I watched one of the documentaries on Netflix. Listen, the enemy plays dirty. He's not going to see like, oh, I don't think. No, he's going to come after our kids. He's going to come after our wife. He's going to come after our relationships. We need to be ready. It says stand firm. Be alert. and stand firm in the faith. So here's the thing, right? God is not asking you to be all like paranoid. Are you gonna, you know people who are all paranoid all the time? You can't take them anywhere because like it's like with my it's like going somewhere with my mother-in-law. I love her. I love her. She's the best. Let me just say, I love her. She's the best. When I'm in the car with her, oh my gosh, don't stop. Go too fast. Da, da, da. You guys, you know people like that? Paranoid about everything. You know that? Don't do that. You're going to die. You're swimming. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to cut off your hand. Anything in the house. You guys know people like that? Don't touch that. Yes. Right? That's a little bit of paranoid. We all have a little bit of a paranoid person. But listen, God wants us to be what? Prepared. Be prepared. How do you get prepared? You got to be in this book. Listen, you're not exempt from the storms, guys. Chaos is going to come in your life. And if you're not prepared, you're going to be like, what do I do? What do I do? When I'm planted firmly in what God wants me to do and I'm leading, I know exactly what to do. I go to Him first. I pray. I'm seeking Him out. I'm not surprised by the storm because Jesus Himself told me, John 16:33, right? In this life you'll have struggles, but have what? Don't fear because I've overcome the world. I'm prepared. I'm not paranoid. Right? 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And he says, do everything in love. So the question we have to ask ourselves, is there an area we are vulnerable right now? Well, we don't know what God really said. You know, the enemy, how he tricks us, right? Did God really say? That's the first tactic is still the tactic that's used by the world. Did God really say? Surely you won't die. You guys remember that in the fall? It's the same tactic. Did God really say that you need to do these things? Yes, he really said it. Quiet. Get out of here. Give that. My devil's right here. You guys already know. He's a little one. Get out of here. Because I serve a big God. I don't give him more credit than he deserves. That makes sense? But is there an area of your life where you're spiritually vulnerable? Are you guarding your eyes and your heart? Right. Are everybody here, we're renewed every day in the Word? Yes, we should be. But there's things that we live in the culture in the world, right? We're at place, sometimes we work with coworkers, they're not saved, and they're dropping all kinds of language. And that already you're like, hey, man, calm down. You know what I mean? Like, you guys know that? Right? But if you keep yourself in that situation, and if you don't, then it just, part of you will start to say, the flesh will start to want to tend into those old tendencies. Does that make sense? What are you watching? You got to guard your heart. You got to guard your eyes. You got to be prepared. Because here's the reality of it, right? That night, going back to the story, if a prisoner had escaped and come to our van, a sleeping guard, I had endangered my whole family. Does that make sense? Okay, that's a pretty paranoid idea that somebody would escape and they would have gotten into the van that came from Orange Cove. That was on its way to El Salvador. Okay. Well, I watch a lot of movies. But listen, that's a joke. God is wanting us to be awake, to be aware. Does that make sense? Because if we're asleep at the wheel, men, then we're putting our families at risk. We're putting our families at risk. So stay alert. The third point is from similar. It's in 1 Peter 3. We're already there. You turn the page over. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are more and are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Don't fear the threats. Do not be frightened. And here's a key verse in 15. It says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. And always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have in Jesus. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it's better, if it is God's will, to suffer doing what is good than doing evil. Does that make sense? So when you're walking with God, right, listen. It's the first part of that passage says, man, when you're walking around with God, God is attentive to your what? Your prayer. Man, who, isn't it like when you talk to somebody, you want them to listen, yes or no? When you're talking to the Creator, it says, like, listen, when you're attentive to God, He's attentive to your prayer when you're walking with Him. Now, if you're walking in disobedience and God's not answering your prayer, don't be surprised. That's like if my kids are acting up and they're like, but Dad, I really want to say, I don't, get out of here. Because my kids who are disobedient, the devil's on this side. My kids are disobedient on this side. Okay? You're being disobedient? I'm not going to feel like blessing you. Get out of here. Doesn't make sense? But God's, when we're walking with Him, what? He's attentive to our prayer. But the third key point, and it's in 15 for us men, it says, set Christ as Lord in your heart. Set Christ as Lord in your heart and be prepared. Here's the reality of it. Everybody wants blessings, yes? They want to have a good life. They want to have financial blessings. They want to have good kids. They want to have a good marriage. Everybody wants a blessing. What we struggle with is that the blessing comes from being under the Lordship of Christ. Does that make sense? People still want to have both. I like to be in charge. You guys remember back in the 80s, Charles in Charge, that show? You guys remember that? I'm really dating myself. You walk around like that's your own TV show. Instead of Charles, it's your, insert your name. Stephen in Charge. Right? Right? Stephanie in Charge. We want to be in charge all the time, yes or no? We do. But that's not what God is calling us. He says, yeah, I'll give you grace. I'll give you room to which to operate where you can have the blessing. But it means first that we have to submit to His Lordship. That He is Lord. Because the reality of it is that when we've tried to be in charge and we've tried to be in control, man, I don't know about you. The reality of it is it doesn't work out. Why? Because we're not God. Because we don't know better than Him. Because we think that we're going to break His precepts, and what happens is that we end up breaking ourselves. We end up making a mess of relationship. We end up doing all these things. And what? We pay the consequence. The wages of sin is what? Death. So we want the blessings? Yeah. Then you better get under His Lordship. Does that make sense? And we oftentimes we will pray for the blessing, but man, you've heard me say this before. When you give your life to Jesus, you get Jesus and you get all of God and all of His goodness. And then the blessing flows from your obedience to a God who loves you. Right? I give this instruction to my kids. I tell my kids, the rules in the house are very simple, right? Be kind to another. You guys know this. Zero tolerance for disrespect. Don't fight with your brothers and sisters, right? We get into the Word. Simple. If you can follow these things, you're going to be blessed in this house. If you don't, right? That makes sense? God is the same way. He says, man, I love you. I want to bless you, but you have to follow. You have to. This is where it's at. This is where the blessing is. In the presence of God and His goodness. If I follow those decrees and those commands, man, the blessing pours out. Yes or no? Amen. That's where the blessing is. But you have to set Christ as Lord. And then He says what? Be prepared. How do you get prepared? You just sleep on your Bible? What kinds of babas all? Oh, I'm holy. Right? You think that that's how it works? No. It doesn't work that way. You got to spend time. It's going to cost you something, right? You got to be in the Word. You got to go to Bible study. You got to pray. You got to get prepared. Because listen, why does God want you to be prepared? You think that your life is just, you give your life to Christ and it's like everything is, you're like a Snow White now, that the birds are just singing around you. Little bunnies come to your house now and everything is good. No. The enemy, what? Wants to attack. So you got to be ready. I'm not like a, you know, you guys like to watch those like the war movies, like the SEAL Team 6 or the 12 or other. All right. I'm like, man, I could have been one of those guys. You know, I can't even do 10 push-ups, guys. let alone swim, and I watch all that stuff. I can't do that stuff, but I want to. That makes sense? Now, those guys, they do what? They get prepared. They have training so that when they're under attack, they're not all panicked. Imagine, you know, what happens, like, if you call the cops or the firemen, and you call them, they show, I don't know what to do. Like, ah, they start going crazy. You'd be like, what'd I call this guy for? He doesn't know what to do. But they train for the crisis. Now, how are you training for the crisis that's coming to your home? How are you training for the relationship trauma that's going to come to your house? Because it's going to come, guys. We have to train by getting into the Word and being in prayer. Does that make sense? So that when the storm comes, like, get out of here, enemy. The Holy Spirit starts to work in you. You know that when the more that you spend time with God and the more that you're working, that when you need Him, the Holy Spirit shows up. And I mean that in a powerful way. That when the trauma comes, if something comes, you're not like the person who's running around with their hair is on fire. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. But that the Spirit of Christ Himself, the Spirit of God comes in and gives you a different kind of peace. Does that make sense? That's what it means to be prepared. It means that when the storm comes, it's like, it's cool, man. Jesus got me. Let's pray. When the trial comes, you're not, your hair's not on fire. Like your cousin who doesn't know Jesus. Does that make sense? We're going to keep praying for that cousin. Right? Yes or no? It means we have to be prepared. And we build our foundation who Christ is because a storm is coming. And that doesn't mean that we just simply come to church. It means that we're in the Word, that we're praying, that we're going to fellowship, that we're doing the things, and that you are present. Does that make sense? That you're teaching. And so we're not only just preparing ourselves, we're preparing our family. Be prepared. You know what it means to be prepared as a man of God too? It means setting boundaries. Men of God. The enemy sometimes shows up like a Proverbs 7 woman. You know what that means? Read that chapter. I'm telling you. What does it mean? It means guard your heart. Because, listen, there's a lot of men, and Stephen knows this, men that have stood here to profess the Word of God as clear as, and they're amazing, and God has done some great things. And where do they fail? The temptation of what? Of the eyes, of the flesh, the pride of life. I'm talking about pastors who lead mega churches, pastors have done something. Where does the temptation usually come? I'm just being honest with you. And ministries are failing because what? Because what? This thing right here, this ring, it's meant to cut circulation, guys. It cuts my circulation from my hand, but it also cuts my circulation like this. Does that make, you know what I'm saying? Because the enemy is going to use whoever he will use to try to derail you from your walk. Does that make sense? So guard your heart, men. Guard your eyes. The Proverbs 7 woman is out there, guys. I'm telling you. And you guys know this. The things that don't need to be your Facebook and also the DM, forget about it. We're going to go over here. Forget out of here. Proverbs, this is another one. That one you can karate chop. Just don't do it at work, okay? Do you know what I mean? Yes or no? I'm just being honest with you. Women, this applies to you as well. We're not exempt from this. There was a time when people respected this thing. And those days are long gone. Does that make sense? So guard your heart. Be prepared. That means that you build convictions. Because the worst place to be is when you start to think about things. When you start to contemplate that. When you start to justify that thing. And it says, man, all you have to do is go back and say, what does the Word of God say? It says, you better not even think about it. It means cut up. Jesus Himself says, you better cut your eye out. And if your hand causes you to sin, you better chop off your hand too. Does that make sense? He's saying, build convictions around your life that you need to guard this thing with everything. Like your life depends on it because it does. Right? We can't be lukewarm on this stuff. And I'm talking this one, I'm not making it a point for the men on this one because listen, God wants us to set that example. Does that make sense? He does. And nothing will derail your walk with God and your call with God if you start to step outside of those boundaries. So be prepared. So If I see a bunch of you guys with eye patches next week, I'm going to say, good job, brother. Some of you guys, your hands all messed up. Good, brother. Send me the hospital bill, you know. It's, hey, man. That's right. Number four, Joshua 1, verse 5 through 9. Joshua 1, 5 through 9, it says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave or forsake you. And he says, be strong and courageous, because I will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to the ancestors to give to them. And then he says again, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen? Amen. And how, where does it come? Where does the strength? So the fill in the blank is what? That God wants us to be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. But it's not in your own strength. Because the key to this whole thing is, how can you be strong and courageous? The answer is in the scripture. It says in verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Here's the key verse. Because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Then you can be strong and courageous. Like when you were younger and you were strong and you were all courageous when you were with your, when you were rolling with your set, you know, all your big old guys. Yeah, then you have a big mouth talking because the guys are with you, yes or no? Yeah. But man, but when you're walking with God, then you can walk in confidence. That's real confidence, right? I can be strong and not be afraid because I know God is with me. More than when I was with my cousins and everything, right? I was never that guy, okay? I was always the guy that said, be quiet. They're going to want to fight us. I'm going to have to run away. I'm telling you guys, I'm not a fighter, guys. It's a true story. But God calls us to be strong and courageous. And here's, I said this last week too, right? To have courage is not the absence of fear. The fear is going to be the challenge comes, the storm comes. Courage comes from knowing who I walk with. I'm with God. I'm good. In this particular passage of Scripture, Joshua was stepping into leadership after Moses. It's a big task. You ever stop and think about the responsibility that you have here as a parent? It's a big task. That God has entrusted you with children. And here's the reality of it. They don't belong to you. What? My mijo? He's my precious? Right? He's a grown man with a goatee. He's still my baby. He doesn't belong to you. He belongs to God. Amen? And we're being stewards of them. They don't belong to you. You know? God has entrusted them to us. Sometimes you're like, well, can God take mine back? Because they don't listen. No. God has entrusted you. What a gift it is to be a parent, right? I tell you what, man, I love being a parent because nothing has taught me the love of God than to be a parent. I didn't know what it was to love somebody sacrificial like that. When we had our first baby, I would look at Stephanie and I would tell Stephanie, you know, Stephanie, babe, I love you, but I don't love you like this. And she would say, the same. You know what I mean? It's a different kind of love, right? And it's good. But God wants us to be strong and courageous, right? And it means that we have to have courage. It means we have to have courage. And courage is, again, not the absence of fear, but you have to have the courage to lead spiritually. You have the courage, men, to apologize when you're wrong. You have to have the courage to be humble. You have to have the courage to go first. You're like, what do you mean go first? Yeah. You guys have heard this one. And the men hate when I say this one. It's not the first time that I've said it. I said, but listen, God has given you authority in the home. And the wives don't hate it when I say that too. But it's a different kind of authority. Who has the ultimate authority? God does. God didn't wait for a fallen humanity to get their act together before he acted and he sent his son. When you have the authority and you love, man, listen to me, you go first. Does that make sense? Because we're called to be like Jesus, like Christ, to our families and to our homes. But if we're puffed up in our pride to say, if there's a conflict and something's going on, no, I'm the man of this house. And what I say goes. Does that sound familiar? That's not Christ-like. Christ was humble. He loved. He had compassion. And let me be crystal clear on this. That doesn't make you a punk. That doesn't make you a mandilon. It makes you a real man. Because Christ came down in his fullness and he was God. And he surrendered and he gave his life. Does that make sense? See, a lot of times people misunderstand meekness for weakness. It doesn't mean that. I can acknowledge when, you know what, I messed up and I'm sorry and I'm going to do better. I'm just telling you, Jesus himself. Now, Jesus was perfect. He was a lamb that was sent by God himself, but he was sent as the perfect sacrifice because God loved. When you have authority, it means that you have to go first. And I know that's hard, guys. I know that's hard. But here's another one that I see all the time. Being right is overrated. You know where it's at? In the humility and in having peace at home. Being right is overrated, guys. We were not right. God was right. And he loved and he sent his son. He went first. So men, God has given you authority. I'm just telling you, that means that you have to go first. Now, that doesn't mean that we're suckers and it's like, oh, yes, of course, whatever you want, babe. You're right all the time. That's not what I said. You're crystal clear. My wife's taking feverish notes over here. It's recorded. I never said that. But we go first to reconciliation. We go first to talk about it. That doesn't mean that I like climb up the ladder. No, it's just men, let's be wise. Let's be smart. The biggest temptation that God wants, that the enemy has, is that what? That we're our own gods, that we're puffed up, that it's our pride. And get that out of here. Do you know what I mean? And be mindful that how the enemy works and how he tries to create conflict. And he's the father of lies. So we have to make sure that we have the courage to go first, to forgive, to restore, and to answer the call that God has on every man that is here. And lastly, Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of the enemy of evil in the heavenly realms. Be strong in the Lord and fight for your family. That's the last point. I'm going to wrap up because I know I went over. Be strong in the Lord and fight for your family. Your strength is not in your own strength, guys. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. You might ask yourself, well, I'm not equipped to that. He didn't say if you have all these talents, gifts, and abilities, he wants you to be obedient. Your strength comes from God. You just have to say, yes, God. I'm not qualified to lead this. Of course, none of us are. The Holy Spirit will equip you. Does that make sense? You just have to say, yes, God. Yes, God. What does this book say? You got it. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to go do it. God will equip you with it. Does that make sense? It's not in our confidence and in our human abilities. Our confidence is in God. And God has appointed you to be the spiritual leader of your home. So as we leave and as we wrap up, we have to ask ourselves, are we carrying the burdens ourselves? Do we have all this thing? Do we have guilt or shame that we're walking around with? We need to bring it to God at the end of the day. He's the one who can restore us and make us right. We have to be under his lordship first, and then we have to be obedient. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord God, that you are good, Lord. Thank you for your message. Thank you for the reminder of the instructions that you've given us to be men who love you first, Lord God, who are under your lordship. And Lord, you're calling us to stand in the gap, to fight for our families, Lord God, because what a great responsibility it is, Lord, that you've entrusted us this role, Lord, to be the first teachers, to stand alert, to stand firm in the faith. That you call us to be strong and courageous, Lord God, but we have to be strong in you. And that we recognize that we are in a spiritual battle, Lord God. That the enemy is real, Lord, and he wants to devour. He looking to steal, kill, and rob our joy, Lord God, and destroy our lives. But Lord God, we want to build our lives around your word, around convictions, Lord God, that last. Because we know that's where the blessing is. Is where you are, Lord God, is where the blessing is. And so, Lord, today, I pray that you raise up, Lord, the men of our church, Lord, all of us to pray strongly, Lord God, to worship strongly, Lord God, that if we fail, Lord God, that we own up to our failures, that we repent, Lord God, of our ways, that if we've been maybe absent a little bit, or maybe we haven't been leading in an area the way you've called us, that today would be the day that we stand in your purpose, Lord God. So I just pray again. Lord God, you're not looking for us to be perfect. We're not perfect. We're flawed, every one of us in here. But you are perfect. And you will meet us at our deficiencies. You'll meet us at our needs. You just want us to stand in the gap and say, yes, I'll do it, Lord. Yes, use me, Lord God. So right now, where all the men are sitting, you came with somebody today. Or if you didn't, I just want you to put your hand over their shoulder. I want you to hold their hand. And I want you to lift them up in prayer. I want you to lift them up in prayer because sometimes we do need each other. We need to be encouraged. We need to be praying for one another. Because it is difficult, Lord God. The culture is trying to create all kinds of confusion and distraction from us, Lord. So right now, right where you are, pray with the man that you came with. And if you came with your husband, or you came with your spouse, or if you came with your son, put your hand over them. And we're just going to pray right now, Father God, Lord, have your hand over this man. Will you guide him, Lord, lead him to you? Will you strengthen him in areas where he is weak? Will you help him to be encouraged, Lord God, to answer the call? To be the teacher that you've called him to be the protector that you've called him to stand alert, to stand firm, to have courage, to seek you out in all things, Lord God. That you are raising him up to be the man to lead home, or the homes of future generations, Lord God. We want to entrust the men of this church to you, because, Lord God, there's no greater calling, Lord. There's no greater calling that we have than to be the men that are standing in the gap, that are raising up families that love you, that fear you, that are teaching the next generation your ways. Help us to be men and fathers and grandfathers and husbands and young men and uncles, Lord God, that are standing firmly on who you are. Sometimes we get so distracted, Lord, that we think it's about the career or the job or the finances or this and that. It is really about a life and death situation. And Lord, I just pray that we not slip on that, Lord God. That we can put on the full armor, Lord God, and be ready for the attack. And that we can be prepared and walk in confidence. And be the protectors and the providers, Lord God. And be the first pastors of our home. Because that's what you're calling every man in here to do, Lord God. We stand firmly on who you are, and we walk not in our own confidence and ability. We go in your strength today, Lord. We love you, Lord God. We praise you because you are good. And Father God, I pray for our children. I pray that you watch over them, that you bless them, protect them, Lord. I pray that you continue to raise up the men. I pray that for all the wives and gals in the room, Lord God, that you help to raise them up, Lord, with gifts, talents, and abilities, Lord God, to build up your kingdom and their families as well, Lord Jesus. You have called all of us, Lord God, into obedience. And so help us, Lord God, to do this in a way that honors you above all else, Lord God. We're here to serve you. Lord Jesus, we want to know you and make you known. That is it, Lord God. So thank you again for giving us this day, Lord. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are good. And Lord God, I know there are hearts that are hurting, Lord God, today because of pain, Lord God, trauma, conflict. Lord, bring healing, bring purpose, and know that we can find our joy in you, Lord God, that you're not done, that you're in the business of restoring, Lord God. You're in the business of healing, Lord God, so bring the healing, bring the comfort. Father God, if for some of us that our fathers have gone on to be with you, Lord God, bring comfort, bring healing, bring peace as well, Lord, that we can reflect and get, and be thankful for having a man of influence in our lives, Lord. For some of us that are here, Lord God, help us to be mindful to honor, Lord God, just like we learned to honor our fathers, to honor our mothers, Lord God. Thank you for the gift that you've given us, Lord God, in this day. And you are a good, good God, Lord. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.